This is the Financial Side of Life podcast, episode 3.
Welcome to the Financial Side of Life podcast. Our mission, to empower you with smart financial strategies and show that it's possible to get a college education, save, invest, retire, or do whatever makes sense to help you live your best life. We'll meet amazing people and professionals who will share stories about how they do it, and together we hope to bring a little sanity to your complex financial life. And now, here is your host, certified financial planner pro and founder of Avea Financial Planning, Angie Ferbot-LaRossi.
I'm your host, Angie Ferbot-LaRossi, certified financial planner pro and founder of Avea Financial Planning, where we specialize in financial planning for college-bound families. Today, I am very excited to welcome my guest, Shihan Mike Franco. Mike is a businessman and owner of 3 martial arts schools. One is here in the Tri-Cities, Trinity Martial Arts Academy, Yakima School of Karate, and the Trinity Martial Arts Academy of Hermiston. His website is tmaakarate1.com. And I'm excited to welcome you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, I always like to start by having my guests share a little bit about their own post-high school experience. And so that might include college. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so a little bit of history. My mom and dad and I, my sister and my brother, we grew up in Toppenish, Washington.
Okay.
And my mom worked a full-time job and graduated from high school herself. Mm-hmm. My father didn't graduate from high school, but did construction labor and worked at Ideal Lumber Feed. So if anybody in Toppenish knows Ideal, hooray! So for me in my life, post-high school, there wasn't any push to go to college, okay. Really. The goal was to graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that my mom and dad pushed. It was important for them. And college afterwards was, if you wanted to go, you know, we'll support you.
Okay.
And unfortunately, with our family financial situation, they couldn't support me financially and pay for my schooling. So with what we did, extracurricular as a family, we did karate. And through our association, they would hand out $1,000 to graduating black belts to go to any college that they wanted. And in 1992, I was able to receive that college scholarship, which helped me go to the Yakima Valley Community College my first year.
Okay.
That was the kickstart of my college career. And my mom and dad were in full support of that, but they did let me know and actually show me financially that they were unable to fully support me financially, so mm-hmm. that meant that I would have to work to pay for my own college.
Okay.
So with the college scholarship and working, you know, at the local Dairy Queen at the time,
okay.
I was able to go to my first year.
Yeah. Just with a part-time job or a full-time job?
Part-time job. You know, I didn't have very many bills. You know, I had a small little Geo Metro that we bought for, I think, $1,000, you know, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for gas. My mom and dad, they helped me financially with my insurance,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have any credit cards at the time. Didn't, you know, I was out of high school. Credit card applications didn't come in the mail as often as they do now for 18-year-olds. So,
right, right.
But my mom and dad were, you know, they were great parents in teaching me that, you know, being financially responsible is important because of maybe their past mistakes or whatever. But so at the time, you know, the $1,000 actually paid for a full year of YVC at that time in 1992.
Wow.
I remember my first tuition for a community college was about $340 for the semester, mm-hmm. or for the quarter, you know. Mm-hmm. So the $1,000 went really far.
It did.
When that went away, I had gotten another job at Geldwin Lumber Mill out in White Swan.
Mm-hmm.
And the job had me working nights in graveyard. And so that was a lot better paying job than the local Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took about a quarter off just to get my feet wet in the lumber mill and then earn some money and earned a little bit of money to pay for my my quarterly fees for college. And so I was able to go through that. It was tough, working nights and then not being able to sleep before class, going to class, trying to get your homework done was a toll. The driving and working, and sometimes in the lumber mill, you would work not just 8 hours, but 10 hours, sometimes 12-hour shifts, mm-hmm. 5-6 days a week, you know? And so there wasn't a whole lot of time for studying, but I was able to do a lot of work and stay in school. I didn't finish my AA at that time.
Okay.
But I got pretty close, mm-hmm. and it just got overwhelming. So I then thought of pursuing another venue, which was opening my first dojo.
Okay.
So.
And you did that in around the same time?
Yeah, in 1998, mm-hmm. I had found an ad in a paper that an athletic club wanted a kickboxing instructor, mm-hmm. and so. After about a month or two, kind of thinking about what I wanted to do, because I wasn't in school at the time, I wasn't, really pursuing what I wanted to do. I thought about, let's open and let's check this out. Went to the interview, and it just kind of put butterflies in me again, and thinking about, man, this could be something I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I accepted it. I said, yeah, and with the idea that I could use one of their rooms to teach a martial arts school. Mm-hmm. And they were 100% for it. No problem. You can use any room you want. We just need the kickboxing instructor. This was the time of the Taibo and the kickboxing fad.
Right.
And so I fit right in. And people understand my energetic level and my attitude towards karate. I love it. And so it just fit. So started there. And that was in Prosser. So, again, traveling. I was still working at Jeldwin. Mm-hmm. Staying at home for a little while, going to Prosser, and then doing that rotation. School was still part of what I wanted to get done.
Okay.
I knew if I wanted to be a business owner, I needed to have some education. High school education wasn't enough. But I also knew that, book smart only got you so far. Mm-hmm. It was experience as well. So I had a lot of good mentors, my instructors in Yakima. They helped us out. My dad, in his limited education, helped me out as well, mm-hmm. on what to do, what not to do, and his mistakes. And so Jeldwin then shut down.
Okay.
And they had, for those that worked there a short period of time, they had small severance packages and just, here, you can have this and go on, and said, okay. At the time, I was dating my now wife, and we were looking for a place to start a business, to get out of the athletic club and own a building, start a business. Mm-hmm. And we were looking around Tri-Cities in Portland. And my wife at college at the time was kind of looking for a job too. And she was thinking either Portland or Tri-Cities. And the applications that she sent out, she got an acceptance in Tri-Cities. And so we thought, all right, this is where we're gonna go. There was a lot of things that lined up and it was like, okay. So we ended up moving to Tri-Cities in 2000, opening up our first Trinity Martial Arts Academy dojo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened with education after that?
Yeah, so after, I had gotten another full-time job, being a security manager at the Benton County Justice Center, and teaching at night. And I knew that the dojo was going to get, we wanted it to get bigger. We're obviously in the business to be successful and to teach as many students as we can. I knew I needed to go back to school. I knew that was important. And so in the past, it was more towards criminal justice or something in the law enforcement field, but owning a business, it was more business classes and accounting. So in 2005, we decided after 4 years of just doing, full-time work and teaching at night, we decided to go back to school. And when I went back to school, I went back to accounting, and we were able to pay it out of pocket. We tried applying for financial aid, mm-hmm. Didn't get any assistance.
Okay.
Tuition prices at that time, again, doubled. And so I was back again working and going to school and studying and owning the dojo and just putting a lot of work into it. And my wife really supported me in that. And then in 2007. I graduated, and it was really awesome. And I got my two-year degree, obviously my AA, but my also two-year certificate in accounting. And so I was able to accomplish that, and that's helped me with our business now.
So as a student, did you ever have to take out loans?
Yeah, we did take out a loan for a couple of quarters. And with the program that they have, you can defer it until after you graduate. And that was kind of the stickler, is that, you know, once you stop going to college, then you have to pay back the loan. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of an enticing part of that, to stay in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can finish what you started and then paying off the loan. The loan payments were small, but still, any type of payment you're stuck with is hard, you know. Yeah. So if you're someone who doesn't like debt, yeah, it's difficult to make that decision. But if you understand your goal, if you understand what right. you want to do, and you'll make those sacrifices. So
did that, I don't know if you want to share the amount of that mm-hmm. loan, but did that impact anything for you and your family going forward? Was it difficult to pay back, or was it okay? Was it manageable with your lifestyle?
Well, at the time, yeah, it was manageable. Mm-hmm. We were in a position where we could have, that we could make the payments easy. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't a problem.
Okay.
I do know that same decision came to me after my scholarship ran out. Mm-hmm. And that was a very difficult moment in my life, because I was like, well, I could take a loan out, but at that time I was young. I didn't know whether I was going to have my job after, you know, after college, or what I wanted to do at a four-year college. I didn't know that. And so I wasn't as established when I was 19, 20 years old as I was when I was, you know, in my 30s and 20s. So, right. So taking a loan out now was a lot easier than that decision was a lot easier than when I was 20 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you find that you had any help in making that decision?
Well, my wife was, you know, we definitely talked about it, mm-hmm. you know, and we just understood that as a family, as a couple with, you know, no children, we just, you know, thought, okay, we're going to budget this out. We know we're going to do this. And so, and here's the payment plan afterwards, and mm-hmm. we'll just budget it out. And we actually paid it off sooner than the loan payments were. So,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, beforehand, my dad was, you know, loans are difficult to pay back. You don't know the future, you know? And so, and again, college wasn't pushed. It wasn't anything that my family was, you have to get a college degree. So just adding more debt to your life, my family was like, we try to stay away from that. And so they themselves didn't quite understand the importance of a college. They knew the importance of college education, but the sacrifices to get that,
right.
You know, they were okay with where they were and where we wanted to go. My sister, my brother, we wanted to go further. And so those sacrifices, they may not have understood.
Mm-hmm. Did you have other siblings?
Yeah, I have a sister who's a year and a half younger than I am, and a brother who's 7 years younger than I am. Yeah.
And as a family, did those siblings have some of the same options as you as far as going on to college, or did they make different choices possibly?
Funny story. Well, because we all took karate, we all were able to apply for and get the college scholarship from the association.
Okay.
So
okay.
that was something, again, that we all knew that, you know, we could get. That could be the kickstart. For my sister, she was really wanting to go to a Bible college in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a cousin of hers that was going to go as well. And so she knew that she would have the finances to go with the college scholarship and some monies that were promised to her by other churches, because they really believed in what she wanted to do.
Okay.
And so she had the financial backing for that first year.
Mm-hmm.
But my family was like, wow, you're going all the way across the country to college. I mean, why don't you just go to YVC like your brother did, you know? And she goes, well, I really believe I need to do this. And so my sister ended up going. And my dad and my mom would constantly be on the phone with her. Do you need anything? Are you safe? You know, my sister's a black belt. And so she can take care of herself, trust me. And so that, you know, but my mom, who is a, you know, Hispanic mom, you know, who stays home, you know, just lovely mom, didn't quite understand that concept, mm-hmm. you know, of going to a four-year college, you know, and just didn't quite, you know, get that. So understood it was important, but, you know, some of the choices that my sister made to go away was kind of hard for my mom to understand. My sister went. She enjoyed her first year there, and kind of figured out that college costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so after that first year, she gained a lot of knowledge. She came back and then pursued other areas here. Mm-hmm. She now has a wonderful family. She lives in Yakima. She works for a law firm in Yakima. So she's done very well for herself. My brother, again, went to college. For him, I think, and he may say something a little bit different, but for him, college may not have been the right choice. Okay. You know, mm-hmm. My brother loves doing things with his hands. Mm-hmm. And so tech school would have been better. But in a family that, you know, really didn't quite understand secondary school, you know, post high school, the options really weren't there.
So it sounds like all you kids actually ended up going to college. But did your parents do any kind of planning, or as high school students, did you get any input from your parents or through the school on planning your soon to be college careers?
You know, looking back, it is interesting how much information we didn't get, or clear information we didn't get from our school districts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, my mom and dad, again, I mean, comes from an immigrant family. Didn't quite, you know, college, again, wasn't one of those things that they really wanted their kids to pursue. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, if they did it, great, you know, but it wasn't something that they put aside $50 a month for a college fund.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so it was one of those things that for my parents, you know, again, high school was their goal. Graduate from high school. Okay. If you want to go to college, we'll support you. We won't be able to support you financially 100%, mm-hmm. but, you know, we'll be there for you. You can stay at home, you know, mm-hmm. whatever.
Right.
But it was looking back at the high school, you know, we had counselors. We had, what do you want to do with your life? You know, and you're asking a 19-year-old or 18-year-old, and, you know, 75% of them don't know what they want to do. So it's hard to say, well, if you go to college, you'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden you go to college, and if you have to take a loan, you're in debt now and you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
Or if you go to a four-year college and you could have gone to a two-year college for lesser money, then all of a sudden you're stuck in a debt because 2 years you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
So, yeah, looking back, it was interesting to see how much we didn't get.
So you've learned a lot, you know, in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And you're married.
Yes.
You have your own children. And
two wonderful boys, yes.
Yes, two wonderful boys. And so as a married couple, how are you approaching this topic regarding your own kids?
So right now we're just trying to make sure they get their pants on right.
and shoes tied.
Yeah, and shoes tied and everything, yeah. Yes. No, you know, it is super important that we understand history so we don't relive the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Do we sit back and say our kids are going to go to college? No, we're not sitting back saying that. We're not sitting back saying they're going to be a cougar or they're going to be a husky. We're not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But as parents, we want to be in the position where we can support them in any way or in any field they want to go into.
Okay.
If it is college, then yes. And we, my wife and I, we do have a small savings account for them that we are putting money in.
Okay.
They don't know that, obviously. Okay. And whether they will know that or not, I don't know. In my lifetime, I worked for everything that I have received.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been through my, you know, hands and my sweat and my tears that I've earned everything. I've had a lot of support along the way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that no one helped.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, who's had a different childhood than I did, still worked hard to receive everything mm-hmm. she's had. So we both understand the lessons of hard work.
Right.
So we want to be able to continue to instill that in our kids and not, you know, to let them know that, you know, not very many things are given to you. And so, but we, as parents, we want to be able to be in a position to support our children in any venue or any way they want to pursue secondary school or post-high school mm-hmm. career. So, yeah.
And you were mentioning earlier about adopting a child
and
having more children.
We're
so beyond
that.
The two that you have now,
yeah.
you could have a very large family with lots of children.
And yeah.
So, you know, just to exacerbate that whole college
sure.
funding yeah. equation, you're adding children to your family.
Right.
And so does that stress you at all, or does that worry you? I mean, because, you know, a lot yeah. of times you are planning ahead to your kids' futures and you're thinking, well, maybe college is a possibility. We may not fully funded for them, but sure. We may want to help them out. But, you know, you add more and more children to that situation, to that story. Does that do anything for you? Do you feel a little anxious, or are we doing enough? Are we planning enough? Are we talking about it enough? Or are you just kind of taking it things as they come?
Yeah. We love kids, and we want a big family. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. We are right in the heels of adopting a young girl from China. Okay. And we can't wait till that process is over and we have her home, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And we do plan on, you know, possibly adopting more children and having children the biological children of our own. So having a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old at home, you know, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, yeah, they're going to be in college at the same time, you know,
exactly.
If they choose.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, that's
so
a whole nother
you know, that's
aspect.
That's
yeah.
One of the things that we're kind of thinking about. You had asked a question about the resources that I had in high school. You know, there's a lot more resources now available to young kids. Mm-hmm. And even the lessons that we've learned or that we didn't learn when we were in high school, there's just so many opportunities for kids to go to college now. And and not only just to college, but other vocations, mm-hmm. you know, tech school, you know, even the military for that matter. Mm-hmm. So if like I said before, we want to just be in a position where we can have the resources available for our children. And, you know, not tackle this quote unquote burden, if you would call it, when they reach high school, mm-hmm. but talk about it now, and not only talk about it between us, but even instill in our kids that, you know, hey, getting good grades is good, even in mm-hmm. first, second, third grade, working, creating habits that they can be successful in high school. Right. So in high school, they're not, well, I got to be good at basketball so I can get a basketball college scholarship. Or, you know, kids can go to school academically, too. It's not that's not a problem. But I think a lot of young kids kind of see the sports venue as the way to go. And some people lock on to that. If our children grow up to be great sports athletes, awesome. They're blessed with that. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're banking on. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so we don't even choose to even think about that. Yes, as parents, we understand that we want a large family. And we will work towards, again, creating the resources that they'll need in whatever decision they make.
I was just recently talking to a college admissions counselor. Mm. And one of the things she was saying is that she wished parents would come to her earlier than they were, mm-hmm. which was usually junior, senior year, maybe sophomore year, because of that very thing that you just said about instilling the importance of good grades.
Right.
Just simply that, you mm-hmm. know, getting good grades all the way through high school and taking the tougher courses, because what that does is if your parents are not intending to fund your full college tuition and lifestyle for that full 4 years, the alternative is to get merit scholarships, mm-hmm. you know, or scholarships of a lot of varieties, but definitely based on merit. Well, merit comes from good grades,
right?
Good
yeah.
grades,
yeah.
being active in school, being a leader in school, the karate part of that would be a big part of that, I would say.
Sure.
And so that is a huge tool as a family, as parents, you know, in your expectations and your conversations with your kids to instill
sure.
the grades and the participation can pay off as well.
You know, you can ask lots of children at any age what they want to do, mm-hmm. and a lot of them know exactly what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wouldn't be a big burden for us if I knew my child wanted to be an engineer, to go to a college college counselor even in their freshman year in high school to say, hey, we want to be proactive in this.
Exactly.
What's, you know, what would be requiring, what would my child need to do to become an engineer or a doctor, you know, or a mechanic, mm-hmm. or whatever they want to do. Again, we want to, as parents, we want to be able to have the resources for our children, whatever they want to do. And sometimes, you know, you were asking me about the advice that my parents gave me. They didn't give me any. And so here, I don't want to be my son's junior year saying, you know, I don't know what to give you, son. You know, good luck, you know, and just protect yourself, you know? And so we want to, again, just be able to give our kids all the resources that they need. And if that means going out and talking to a counselor to help my child out, great. That's not a problem, you know? Maybe we should do more of that. And that's kind of what you're saying.
Well, and it definitely starts with having conversations with your kids, yeah, you know, and just talking about what their 5-year plan is or mm-hmm. what their interests are so that they can take the right classes in high school right. that might, just like you said, that just might steer them into the right scholarship or the right program in the right university
right.
or technical school or whatever it ends up being. So
yeah.
Yeah, lots of conversations. You know, good communication is, I think, the starting point for sure.
Sure.
You also mentioned that your wife and you had different backgrounds.
Yes.
And you both had different approaches for the way that you went through college.
Mm-hmm.
You worked your way. You went through the community college and you worked your way through school with that help of that starting scholarship. And your wife had a little bit of a different background. How does that difference in your backgrounds come up in your conversations when you talk about your own kids and planning for them?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, everything that both my wife and I have achieved have been through our hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And my background being raised by families who were farm workers, hard work, you know, was learned pretty early. My wife's background, her family owned apple fruit orchards
mm-hmm.
and hired Hispanics. So we have the two different dynamics here.
Right.
So my wife's college was paid for by her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And but my wife did very well in being responsible with those funds.
Right.
Didn't just take it and just say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, I got my free ticket. I'm going to just sail through. My wife is a very ambitious woman. She knows when she has a goal in front of her, she goes at it 100%. And mm-hmm. so together, both of us, we both agree that, you know, our kids will be working and creating this hard work ethic to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, when she went to college, she understood that this Running Start program, when it started back then, mm-hmm. was a pretty good program and was paid for by the state and the colleges. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't have to pay for it.
Right.
So she took advantage of that and then went to a 4-year college and graduated with her BA at the age of 21. And so when she came back to work, most people were still in college trying to get their BA.
Right.
But she worked really hard, and whether the finances were there or not, even in college, she still had a budget she had to live with, mm-hmm. you know, and that taught her a lot. She didn't have the burden of whether she was going to pay for college next quarter or not. She knew that was going to be available. But even at college, she had to live on a budget, and her dad was very, very good at in helping her learn that,
right.
even in high school, too.
Okay.
So, but yeah, our idea is to make sure that our kids understand that to get where you want to go, there's going to be some valleys, there's going to be some mountaintops, and how to overcome and enjoy each one through hard work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so do you find that you and your wife are on the same page as far as expectations for college? Does she have the expectation that you as a family will be paying for all or a large part of their, if they go to college, you know, paying for it versus kind of what happened with her?
Yeah, yeah.
Versus you who have more perhaps of an opinion of having the kids work their way through school.
Yeah, I'm kind of sneaky, you know. It's really interesting, but I we want to be able to have the resources for our kids,
mm.
but we're not going to let them know that, hey, you know, this is not a burden you're going to need to, you know, mm. maybe that would cause them not to focus too much in high school. Maybe that wouldn't have them focus too much on receiving college scholarships to really make this journey their own. If we let them know that this is available to them, then they may just say, oh, well, I got mom and dad to fall back on, you know, and then they won't make it their own, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one story that I tell a lot of people this in our dojo when we talk about traveling in national team. When I was 16 years old, my father, and you know, I was a sophomore in high school, and in our limited financial situation, I had qualified to go to a national competition in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
With our national team. And I had won the state tournament. I had won the regional tournament and qualified for nationals. And back then, traveling across the country, you had to fly, you had to pay for, you know, hotel costs. And so everything was paid out of pocket. You would belong to a team, but everything was paid out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And so in my sophomore year, my dad sat down and with us and our family and decided that we were going to do a lifestyle change. My dad was teaching karate at the time, mm-hmm. and he had gained enough students where he didn't necessarily have to work a full-time job. It was getting pretty difficult for him at the time.
Okay.
And so he sat us all down, and he said, with this lifestyle change, things are going to change. You know, we're not going to be able to have, you know, go out dinners as much. You know, maybe twice a month, maybe now, maybe once a month. Mm-hmm. Christmas is going to look a little bit different now. You know, you may not receive three presents. You may receive one. You know, let's mm-hmm. talk about this. And so we sat down, and Dad and Mom showed us the bills. And he was like, well, here's the house payment. Here's this. And then there was two credit card payments that were there. And I noticed those two, and I was like, well, Dad never really talked about credit cards. He always was against credit cards. What's going on? And so what happened was is that my dad talked about all that stuff and added it all up and said, this is what we need to make, and it was very educational for us. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, what are these two credit cards for? You know? I was 16 years old, and to backtrack, I'd made the team when I was 14 and 15 and 16.
Okay.
So I traveled to Atlanta, Georgia. I traveled to New Orleans, Louisiana. I traveled to Lawrence, Kansas, all for Junior Olympics and national competitions. And my dad would slide that credit card, that MasterCard statement, and say, this was Atlanta, Georgia. This was Lawrence, Kansas. This was New Orleans. And the sacrifice that my mom and dad made for me mm-hmm. was huge. I thought, well, mom and dad are going to pay for it. No big deal, you know. But there was a financial sacrifice that they made.
Right.
And it made me think I should have worked for that because I just took it for granted. Mom and dad will pay for it. No big deal. I made the team. Of course they want me to go. Mm-hmm. Did I train harder because they were paying for it? No. But if I knew if I was paying for it out of my own pocket, mm-hmm. I would have trained twice as hard. They stuck their, you know, financial necks out to pay for that dream right. of mine. Mm-hmm. For my kids, I want to be in the situation where I don't have to put it on a credit card, obviously, or right. have them pay for loans. I want to give them the opportunity to go to any secondary school or post high school education they want. But I want them to make it their own from freshman year and not let them know that, hey, you can fall back on this savings account that we have for you. We've not been promised anything, so you know they know right now that it's going to be hard work that they're going to mm-hmm. attain everything they have. So that was one lesson that I learned from my parents when it comes to hard work and making something your own. Because now when I go to nationals or I take a team, I work for it myself. And when I went to college, boy, my GPA was really good because I pay for it my own. So excellent. Making it your kid's own. So.
Excellent. That's a great point to wrap up. So as we do that, as we wrap up our conversation today, we like to ask our guests, is there any best piece of advice that you might give to an up-and-coming student, an aspiring college student?
Oh, you know, people talk about, you know, you should chase after what you're passionate about, and that's good, and that's awesome. My idea right now that I've been learning the last couple of years is why I want to do what I want to do. It's not the what, it's the why.
Okay.
I teach karate. There's a lot of karate dojos out there, but why do I teach it? And for me, that's more important. I've been reading a lot about a gentleman named Simon Sinek mm-hmm. who talks about starting with why. And it kind of turns the whole business aspect around. But my why wakes me up every morning. My why pushes me to the dojo every day. If you know why you want to do something, the goal will always be out there, and you'll do whatever it takes to get it done. If you know what you want to do, sometimes you might, you know, hit the snooze bar a couple of times because the why is not pushing you. And if you're passionate about something, if you really want to accomplish something, you'll do whatever it takes. That's why I was able, in my later years, I knew that the loan wasn't going to be a problem. When I was 18, I didn't quite understand my why. Mm-hmm. I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know why. So the loan was kind of like, maybe I shouldn't. But when I was older, I understood the why. I was in the why. I knew what I wanted to do. It woke me up every morning, kept me up late at night, you know. And so the sacrifice, I knew that I was going to tackle that burden when it came to it. But if you know your why and what you want to do, you know, the stars are, you know, you'll be on the stars. It's going to be awesome.
That's my advice. Excellent advice. Okay, well, I would like to say a big thank you to Mike Franco. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This was awesome.
Thanks.
A lot of great stories and a lot of great things for our listeners today. So thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I want to thank Mike for stopping by the podcast booth and sharing his story with us today. And thank you for listening to today's program. Be sure to check over the show notes for details from our conversation. And if you've enjoyed our discussion today, I invite you to listen again and subscribe to our podcast at aveafp.com. That's www.aveafplikefinancialplanning.com. Leave a review for our program, and thank you again for tuning in.